Time to talk Browns football. It's Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram. It's the Petrack Report brought to you by Jamelis Wilson Merrill and Fritz Company Attorneys at Law and by Royal Business Equipment on the Cleveland Street in Elyria. Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. All right. So let's go back to last Thursday when all the nation in the eyes and anybody who had Amazon Prime, or I guess they ran that on local TV as well, got to see the Browns and the Steelers in the matchup. Browns winning 29-17 and shaking off that ugly loss as it is. So that game's behind us. Now we're focusing on Atlanta. Talk a little bit about sort of what we saw in Thursday's game that really was so hopeful for the future of the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with, you mentioned shaking off the loss to the Jets. I do think it starts with how they handled it emotionally, because that Jets game was embarrassing. It was different than a lot of losses, and it was a quick turnaround. So to see the Browns put that behind them, play better, handle the final minutes better, the defense didn't have the breakdowns that it had the previous two fourth quarters. In the first two games, the defense let up 17 points in each of the fourth quarters. Then against the Steelers, they only let up 3 points in the second half. So that was a big improvement. And then on offense, they ran the ball well again, which is their calling card. And then I thought Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback, played really well. He threw it. You know, it wasn't an easy night to throw the ball. It was really windy, especially to start the game. And I thought he fired balls in there all day. He converted third and fourth and shorts with quarterback sneaks. I thought he played well for the second straight week.
Scott, the defense looked sharper, better coordinated. Did they make changes they needed to?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't make any personnel changes. You know, they talked about over-communicating. You know, that was their word. We're going to over-communicate to make sure there weren't the defensive breakdowns, which they just blamed on communication. We saw them huddle more, which seems pretty rudimentary, you know. But sometimes the corners won't go to the huddle because it's extra steps or, you know, you're trying to conserve your energy, and it's easy to stand outside and get a hand signal. But I think there's more of an effort to huddle as a unit so everybody was on the same page. They did change and had cornerback Denzel Ward follow Steelers receiver Deontay Johnson around the field instead of playing sides like sometimes they do. And actually they went after Denzel Ward a little bit, the Steelers did, and Johnson did okay. But, you know, I think maybe that made it easier for everybody to be on the same page if you have one guy guarding one guy as opposed to sides, and then you have to switch and stuff like that. So I think it was just more like being on their P's and Q's and not making the mistakes that haunted them the previous 2 weeks.
Talking about Jacoby Brissett having a good game, who do you think his favorite receiver is, Amari Cooper or David Njoku? Who did you like throwing to better?
Yeah, I mean, I would go with Cooper because Cooper's had back-to-back 100-yard games, you know, and Njoku hadn't done anything really until the Pittsburgh game. But both of them had big games against Pittsburgh. And you need a second option, right? And Cooper, he's the number one receiver. He feels like he's going to be the number one guy most games and all season long. But you need a secondary option. And, you know, week one, Donovan Peoples-Jones, the receiver, caught 6 passes for 60 yards. And then it was mostly Cooper week two. So to have that second guy contribute at a high level is important. And, you know, the Browns are paying Njoku a lot of money, and they need, you know, he's been really good in the run game as a blocker, but they need the contribution in the pass game. And he played well the other day. I think he had one catch that he probably should have made. But outside of that, he was good with the ball. He was good after the catch, and he made the big touchdown catch in the back of the end zone.
How should we feel about Cade York? Sometimes we think, well, he's never going to miss. And if he misses, we think, well, here we go again. Is it just sort of that we just need to hold tight and realize that he is the kicker we expect him to be?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, I expect him to be good, right? They drafted him in the fourth round for a reason. He showed something with that 50-yard winner against Carolina, obviously. But, you know, he's a rookie. Guys miss kicks. You know, Justin Tucker, the Baltimore guy, rarely misses a kick, but I saw him bang one off the upright yesterday. So, you know, these guys are human. It happens. It wasn't the easiest conditions to kick in, like I mentioned, to throw in. Wasn't DZ's conditions to kick in Thursday night, and he hit the one extra point off the upright. So I think he'll work to correct those mistakes. But, as long as he makes more than he misses, a lot more, right? They'll be okay, but I think it's way too early to have any real concerns about Cade York.
Steelers and Browns Thursday night, it was a tough match, always brutal back and forth. Guys down on the field as well, but when Anthony Walker Jr. went down, we knew that was really serious. Talk about his injury and I guess the impact that's going to have moving forward for the defense.
Yeah, he's out for the season. They put him on IR already, injured reserve already. He's going to have surgery. He suffered a torn quad tendon. So, yeah, it's tough. I thought he played really well in the first two games, was really active. So it is going to be a loss. Now, the Browns feel good about who they have replacing him, and that's Jacob Phillips. He was a third-round pick in 2020, and has been missed time with injuries his first 2 years. But if he's healthy, he's good. Like, he's probably a better athlete than Anthony Walker. Now, he doesn't have the experience. He's not a captain like Anthony Walker. Anthony Walker's really smart. But they don't think there'll be a drop-off. The problem is it's a depth issue then, right? You had four guys you trusted. Now you have one less guy you trust. And Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah left the game in the third quarter with a groin injury. Now, it's not a long-term thing with him, but there's no guarantee he's back this week against Atlanta. So then you could be down two of your guys. So it'll be a loss, but the Browns are hoping that Phillips can stay healthy, and that would really mitigate the loss of Anthony Walker Jr.
Scott, I might have my players mixed up here, but was Anthony Walker there, was he the guy who got sort of, I don't know what, that big fat Steeler guy just plopped himself down on him on the ground? Was that Anthony Walker?
Yeah,
and
that was that.
Did that
play.
Steeler guy get fined for that?
You know what? I checked with the league, and they said they'll announce fines like they always. They review every play, whether or not there's a penalty or not. And they'll announce that fine on Saturday if there is a fine. And I get why fans were upset about that, because Walker goes down with what's obviously a serious injury, and the Steeler kind of lands on him with both forearms, it looked like. But you see that plenty of times. If an offensive lineman, that's how the killer kind of finish plays. Their guy goes to the ground, and they lay on him so he can't get back up, or they fall on him. I've seen Wyatt Teller for the Browns do that. Now, it looks worse because Walker's hurt, but I don't think the guy knows that. I mean, the guy, it's not like, you say I got a torn quad, and the guy falls on him. So I actually don't expect there to be a fine. I did not think it was egregious, but we'll know Saturday. But I get the fact that it looked terrible, but to me it didn't look that much different than a lot of NFL plays I see.
What NFL plays did you see yesterday? I think maybe did you spend any time in front of anything that was exciting or boneheadedness or anything that would have come to mind?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw the Miami-Buffalo game. Miami upset Buffalo, which was interesting because everybody feels so great about Buffalo, and they should. And Buffalo's dealing with some injuries, and actually they put up a ton of yards. They just didn't score a lot of points yesterday. But Miami was kicking out of its end zone, and the punter kicked the ball right into the butt of the guy in front of him, his own guy. He backed the guy, the blocker backed up a couple steps, and the kicker, the punter, kicked it right into his butt and went out of bounds for a safety that gave the Bills a chance. And then the Bills wound up, the clock ran out as they tried to get to the line to run one last play. And their offensive coordinator up in the press box went nuts. He started slamming stuff all over the place. So that was kind of funny watching that.
Yeah. Maybe they don't need those cameras up there with those guys and their clipboards.
Yeah, right.
They just, for two shots through the entire game. That they show. All right, we're now on to taking on the Atlanta Falcons. What can we expect against this team coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they won yesterday. They could beat the Seahawks. I think that was their first win. A team with not many expectations this season, not supposed to be great, kind of in a rebuild. They sent their quarterback, Matt Ryan, from Atlanta to Indianapolis. He'd been there forever. But they went after Deshaun Watson, too. And when they didn't get Deshaun Watson, Ryan said, well, you went after Watson. We're in a rebuild. Trade me. So he went to Indianapolis. So Marcus Mariota, quarterback, who's a runner, he was a former number two overall pick. So he's got some talent, but it's kind of bounced around a little bit. They got a couple young, talented guys and receiver Drake London, who's a rookie, and then second-year guy Kyle Pitts. He's a tight end that is more like a receiver, and he's going to be a tough matchup. Like, that's one of the things I'll be looking at this week is how are they going to try to slow him down, especially if Owusu-Koramoah, like I mentioned, he injured that groin Thursday night. If he's not back, they're going to have to figure something out. It could be him. It could be safety Ronnie Harrison, but he also didn't play against Pittsburgh because he injured a hamstring in pregame. So, like, the first two guys that jumped to my mind is who would cover Pitts were injured Thursday. So it'll be interesting to see how the Browns handle it.
Yeah, well, they had a nice weekend off. The coach says, take care, be safe, you know, think smart, come on back, and we'll get to some practice today as the week wears on. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk again next Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Scott Petrak of the Chronicle-Telegram. Petrak, also Scott, at Petrak on the Twitter. Follow him there. And also the BrownZone.com with a lot of good updated information.